One of the ministers that has filled this pulpit many, many times refers to the King James Version as the King Jimmy Version. And it was that version I learned, the Psalm 100, and so I'll be repeating it for you. Psalm 100 from King Jimmy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Thank you, Gail. The gospel passage this morning is from Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and I am going to be reading it from the teleprompter. I feel just like a politician. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. May God add his blessing to the reading of this scripture. Many years ago, I attended a Baptist seminary, and I was part of a drama group in that seminary, and we did a play that was based on a story by Leo Tolstoy. It's a wonderful story with a message that is very appropriate for Reign of Christ Sunday. This Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year when we envision Christ's ongoing rule over us in our lives of service to God. I'd like to tell you that story today. I sometimes ask God how Christ is present in many of the situations that I witness in my work at the hospital. This story is a beautiful answer to that question. Many years ago, there was a shoemaker named Martin who lived in a tiny cellar apartment in a large city in Russia. The only light in his room came from a small window, just high enough to see people walking by each day from the knees down. Martin was, after all, a shoemaker, and that's the part of his work that he saw regularly. Martin was a fine and an honest man. He was also a very skilled craftsman. Martin lived alone. His wife had died while he was still an apprentice, leaving him with one son. And this young son had died 10 years later at the age of 13, leaving Martin lonely and depressed. In deep sorrow, Martin sought the consolation of a holy man. He said to him, "All I ask of God is that he bring my life to a swift end. I have become a man without hope." The wise old man replied, "There is still reason for you to live. The answer lies in God. When you give yourself to God, you will find your reason to live, and you will find consolation for all the great losses that you have suffered." Martin pondered the holy man's words, and he asked him, "How can I give myself to God? I don't even know where to start." The old monk replied, "Buy a copy of the New Testament and read it each day. There you will learn to live for God. All that you need may be found in the Gospels." Martin was deeply moved. He went immediately and bought a copy of the New Testament. Each night after his work was finished, Martin lit his lamp and read from the Gospels. The more he read, the more he understood. The more he understood, the greater was the joy that filled his heart. As his depression lifted, Martin faced each day with great anticipation. He worked long hours, caring tenderly for the shoes and the boots that came into his shop. His night reading empowered him to do his finest work. One night, Martin's reading was in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The story was about a rich Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house as a guest. While Jesus sat at table, a sinful woman anointed his feet and bathed them with her tears. In the end, Jesus forgave her all her sins. Martin put the book down and closed his eyes, picturing the scene that he had just read. He could imagine what controversy this incident caused. Opening his eyes, he looked again at the story. Then turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "You see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time that I got here, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." Martin again closed his eyes. Would I have been like the Pharisee? He took care of himself, but he ignored his guest. And the guest was the Lord himself. If he came to me, would I have done the same? It had been an exhausting day, and Martin fell asleep in his chair. "Martin," the voice seemed to breathe in his ear. Martin roused himself, but he was still only half awake. "Who is it? Who are you?" The voice answered, "Martin, look out in the street tomorrow. I will come and visit you." Suddenly, Martin was fully awake. Was this the voice of Christ that he had heard? Or had he simply imagined the words? Uncertain, he paced for nearly an hour before he blew out the lamp and went to bed. The next morning, Martin rose before dawn, prayed, and heated the stove. He put on his cabbage soup and sat down at his bench by the window to work. His mind was not on his work. He couldn't stop wondering about that voice. Or he heard it, but maybe he just thought he heard it. One part of him thought it was just a dream. Another part really wanted Jesus to visit him that day. Martin's eyes wandered out the window most of the morning, and he saw familiar boots pass by in the new snow. He saw old Stephen, the retired soldier who served as the assistant janitor in his building. Stephen came out to clear away the snow. From the beginning of the task, the old man struggled with it. Stephen leaned his shovel against the wall. "He's worn out already. A man that old and frail has no business shoveling this heavy snow. Martin rapped on the window and cried out to the old man, "Come in and warm yourself. Have some tea." Stephen shuffled into the small room and collapsed into a chair. "Christ keep you, my bones are aching. Don't bother wiping your feet. I have to mop soon anyway." Martin poured two glasses of tea and offered one with a sugar cube to his visitor. Without speaking, old Stephen downed the glass, sucking what remained of the tea through the sugar cube. He nodded his thanks to his host. Martin refilled his glass. Stephen drank this one too, a little more slowly. As he did, Martin glanced out the window. "Are you waiting for someone?" Stephen asked. "Waiting? Well, yes, I am, but it's a little embarrassing." He then told old Stephen about his dream. "It all began when I was reading about Jesus at the house of the Pharisee. Have you heard the story?" "I've heard of it, but I can't read." Martin told him the entire tale. And when he showed interest, told him another, and still another. When he finished, both men were silent. Finally, Martin asked, "More tea?" Stephen replied, "I've had enough. Thank you for inviting me. You have warmed both my body and my soul." Martin was pleased as the old man went outside. He was also a little disappointed. It was already late morning, and Jesus had not yet come. He went back to the workbench, trying to work. He watched as other shoes passed by his window, and he paced impatiently. On one of his trips, when he went to the door, he saw a woman poorly dressed, standing against the wall with her back to the wind. She cradled a child in her arms. She wore a thin summer dress, and the blanket around the baby was threadbare. Opening the door, Martin cried out, "My good woman, it's easier to wrap that baby in here where it is warm." The woman came inside, and Martin gave her some tea. She told Martin her story. Her husband had gone off to war 8 months ago and had not been heard from since. She had worked as a cook until the baby was born 4 months ago. "And then they laid me off," she said. "Don't you have any warm clothes?" "I sold my last shawl yesterday for 20 coins. We needed the food." Martin took her to his tiny closet where a woman's winter coat was hanging. He said, "It belonged to my wife. I don't need it anymore." Before she left, he gave her a bowl of cabbage soup and found a warm blanket for her to wrap the baby in. When she was gone, Martin felt pleased that he had been able to help her in some small way. He also felt a little sad because it was early afternoon and Jesus had not yet made his visit. As the afternoon wore on, Martin could not keep his mind on his work. He often peered into the street through his tiny window or opened the door to see if Jesus might have arrived. Midway through the afternoon, he was standing at the door and he saw an old woman carrying a basket of apples on one arm and a sack of wood chips on the other to stoke her fire. As she stopped outside Martin's door to kind of balance her burden, there was a small boy who snatched an apple out of the basket and began to run. The old woman grabbed him by the sleeve and held on. The boy struggled to get loose, but the determined woman would not let go. Martin ran outside without even putting on his coat. When he reached the pear, the woman was pulling the boy's hair, and he was screaming. Martin separated them. Taking the boy by the hand, he pleaded, "Let him go, grandmother. Forgive him and forget, for the sake of Christ." "I'll give him something he won't forget," she shouted. "I'll take him to the police." In the next few minutes, a beautiful thing happened. The old woman released the boy, The boy apologized. After Martin reminded her of the forgiveness that she has received by the Savior, she gave the boy another apple and smiled. As she took her basket and headed home, the boy jumped up and offered to carry her wood chips for her. Martin watched with a smile as the two walked down the street together. Martin felt good that he had been able to help to settle the conflict between these two. He also felt sad because it was late afternoon and Jesus had not come. Martin put his tools away and he swept the floor. He set the table for dinner and ate the last of the cabbage soup. Picking up his New Testament, he sat in his chair by the lamp to read. He felt rather foolish for believing that Jesus had spoken to him the night before. He opened the book to the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. There he read, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick and in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" Images of old Stephen and the soldier's wife and the woman and the boy suddenly flashed through his mind. Then Martin realized that his dream had not deceived him. The Savior had truly come to him that day, and he had welcomed him. Today is Reign of Christ Sunday. On this last Sunday in the church year, we think of Christ, the gentle shepherd, who rules our lives with justice and mercy and grace. The passage that we heard from Matthew today tells us that the greatest ruler who ever lived comes to us sometimes in hiddenness. He comes to us in the people that we meet each day. There's a passage from Hebrews that says, "Be careful to entertain strangers, because some people have entertained angels unaware." The stranger, the poor, the oppressed, the imprisoned. Christ is hidden in all of these, waiting to be hospitably welcomed. Let us always manifest his love to the least of these who are members of his family. Amen.